So, by show of hands, no, don't do that. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions on things that you'd like to change in your life? Now, by show of hands, how many of you have gone back? No, don't show your hands. How many of us have kind of gone back on what we wanted to do? Interesting statistic. About half of the population of North America, it shows, make these New Year's resolutions. Of that, 8% carry them through. And of the 92% that's left, 80% are back to their old ways by the beginning of February. That's kind of scary sad. And the reason I started like this is because I was wondering why. Why is change so difficult for us? Why can't we continue this? Why can't we start it and carry it through? And as I was thinking, I thought maybe it is because we usually try doing this from the wrong end. We start on the outside and we think, maybe if I change my hairstyle, or maybe if I start a new clothing style, or we'll go to the gym and see if I can lose a few pounds and feel a little better. That doesn't always last. Because the real place of change happens on the inside. Because let me tell you this. In 2022, the external challenges that we're going to face, COVID and Omicron and all the things that come with that, the pandemic, they're going to be challenges, but the biggest challenges are going to be the challenges that need to come from here in the heart. Listen to what Jesus says about this. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, and then we're going to go verses 14 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts, underline that word, are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Then verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." There is no verse 16, and then we go to verse 17. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, underline that word, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, you can't point to external things saying, but this is what causes that I can't change, or this is why I react the way I act, or I don't react. He says, no. The place that needs to change is the heart. Verse 7, verse 21, verse 23. And let me give you an example. I have someone who always says to me, make this practical. I'll give you an example of what it means, not external, but internal, that needs to change. It's easy to say, did you see how that person cut me off in the traffic? Did you see how rude that person was to me after they cut me off? Can you understand why I get so angry, why I get so frustrated? Question is, what is really going on that makes you angry, that you just fly off the rocker just like that? What is going on in here that the frustration boils over so easy? What's going on in the inside? It's not the outside. Look at those folks. They always get ahead. They're doing so well. And poor me. Look at me. I'm always struggling. It's not them. Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so down on yourself? See, Jesus is saying, it's not the external things that we need to change that will change us. It's time that we take a good, hard look at ourselves on the inside and then ask those really hard and difficult questions. Where does the self-doubt come from? Why am I always so angry? Why do I always have to be so self-sufficient? Why do I always have to have my own way? But we don't like those questions, right? We don't even want to hear them. It doesn't even sound good when I start saying them like this. We kind of want to ignore them, bury them. But here's the thing. Can you remember when we were talking about change in Central and how we wanted to change to become who God called us to be? And I often quoted you a man called Max Depree. And the quotation was this. We cannot become who we need to be by remaining who we are. We need to change from the inside. I can't think that remaining who I am, I can become who God intended me to be. It won't happen. The change needs to happen from the inside out to become that person that God intended me to be. How do we do that? How do I bring that change? Let me share with you a few things that I look at in my own life and I try in my own life. And the first thing is that I'll often do is I'll ask for honest feedback, honest, authentic feedback, or sometimes we can use the word accountability. Because the problem is this, when we look at ourselves, we always just look at the external and we'll look with these tainted glasses and I'm good, I'm fine, I'm doing okay. It's okay, it's not an anger problem, it's not a frustration problem, it's not. That's the game we play with ourselves because we don't like looking at ourselves and saying, what do I need to change in there? So I find someone who is authentic and will be honest and who will help me. And for me, that's my family. Because I can trust them. I know when they say things to me, when we sit down and we talk about the things that I would ask, they'll be honest with me, they'll be authentic with me, and I can take their word. But here's the thing. Let me give you an example. It depends on how we'll take this, right? So my wife, say when she talks to me and she says, well, I saw this and I saw this, and what do you think about this? And I can react in a few ways. I can say, yeah, right, that's just your opinion and just that's how you think. Or I can get really mad at her. Why do you do this? Why are you saying these things of me? Don't you really love me anymore? Or I can say, thank you. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for holding me accountable, for helping me to change. Thank you for being honest with me, because without that, I don't have a real mirror to see what needs to happen in this heart of mine. Second thing, we need to change the direction of how this change needs to happen. See, we usually would say, when they change, then I will change and I will do that. And when they do that, then I will. And they can be so many things. They can be a person. They can be my job. They can be other people. They can be circumstances. But that's usually where we start, right? They have to, and then I will. Actually, it goes the other way. It needs to start with me. I have to take responsibility for my actions. Let me give you an example. John M. Drescher wrote this little book. If I were starting again with my family, and parents, go buy this little book. It's a wee little book. It's got about maybe 80 pages. It's a gem that you need to read. Each parent needs to read this book. And in this book, he talks about all the things that he would change. And then one of the little chapters, he says, if I were starting again with my family, I would stop praying for them. And that sounds like kind of, whoa, no, that's not correct. I need to pray for my family. And then he explains this. And remember what we're talking about. It's the direction that needs to change. I'm always saying, they have to change. And then I will. No. Me. So he says, I'll stop praying for my family because here's the thing. This is how I used to pray. Lord, my wife, did you see that thing that she's doing? And Lord, do you get that she's so not cool with this? And Lord, that thing in her life is so not good. Will you change that in her life? That'll be so much better for everyone. And Lord, that son of mine, you need to change that just everything in him because he's just off the rocker and things are just not good. And my daughter, Lord, you need to change a lot of things in her life. And then he realized, I'm not praying for my kids. I'm trying to play God for my kids. What I need to pray is this. And that's why he says I won't pray for my family. I need to pray like this. Lord, thank you for the wife that you gave me. But with that, you gave me a responsibility that I have to be her husband. Will you change me and help me from here to become the best husband in the world that I can be for my wife? Change me and help me to love her unconditionally. Help me to be there for her with all that is in me so that I can become what you want me to be. Help me to be the best father that I can be for my children. Help me to be an example that the father they find in me will be the father that they find in you. Because I live from you. Change me and put your image in me. We need to change. But the change is me becoming who God intended me to be. So I have to worry about me. Me and my relationship with God. Me and doing what God expects of me. Me and working with God to become the person that God created me to be. I can't say, if they, then I will. If she stops doing that, I will. If that circumstance changes, I will. No, I have to take responsibility for the change in my life, regardless of what he says or what she does or what circumstances are there. I have to start with me and what God wants from me. Isn't that what Jesus did? When he came into this world, he didn't say, well, you change first, then I'll take care of you. You change first, then I'll do that for you. Listen, you go try the cross first. And if the cross works out for you, I'll go try that. And maybe I'll change and I'll go do... I'll go and do that. To become who we need to be. We cannot remain the same. We need to change, but it starts with me, and then it goes that way. Last thing. As we allow God to change us, and as we go on this journey, often we'll find that I am weak and I struggle. But in the weakness, I've also found that that's the moments where God shows up in his strength. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings this beautiful song where he quotes Philippians 4:4. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. And then he says, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me, because there's no great success to show. There's no glory of my own. But in my weakness, he is there to let me know that his strength is perfect when my strength is gone. He'll carry me when I can't carry on. And he just quotes Paul in that second part, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9. Where so many times Paul said to the Lord, three times he says, I prayed. And I said, Lord, I'm struggling with this weakness. He calls us the thorn in the flesh. I'm struggling with this weakness and I can't change it. Lord, take it away. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength will show its full power. My strength, my power will come to perfection in your weakness. When is God's power at its most powerful? When I'm weak. When I'm without strength. When I am struggling. When I am out of all of my own options, that's when God's strength is as it most powerful. Not in my self-sufficiencies. Not when I think I can do it myself. Not in my resume. Not in my abilities. But when I am weak, and when I have to stand before him, and when I can surrender, and when I leave myself open, that's when God's power takes over. For it comes through his grace, not because of what I've done and how amazing I am, but because of God who says, I can change your heart. And that should be the prayer. Change my heart, O God. For in that moment, when I've learned to let go, and grace takes over in my life is opened up. And my life is changed forever, and I become who God intended me to be, and I'll never be the same, and nothing will ever change that again. Now tell me that's not good news. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, that you care enough that you sent your Holy Spirit to come live in us, because that's where the change happens, where your Spirit works, where the Spirit brings the change as you walk through our lives, little by little, Holy Spirit. And you ask us to allow you to work in our weakness and in our brokenness and to change that so that your strength may be perfect in us. So at the beginning of this new year, may this be our prayer. your strength be perfect in our weakness. Change my heart, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.